This morning we're going to be looking at the title, When Jesus Calls Your Name. And names are really important. And in the resurrection story, the most important character, of course, is Jesus, right? He's the central figure. He is what makes the resurrection the truth, right? The reality. But you know, the second most talked about figure in the resurrection accounts is a lady by the name of Mary Magdalene. You know, I've never preached a sermon about Mary Magdalene, but I find that she's a fascinating gal who the Lord touched her heart and did many great things for her. And turn with me to the account in John 20, beginning at verse 1, if you have your Bibles. Let's stand and honor God and His Word this morning. John 20, beginning at verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separated from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told him that he had said these things to her. Father in heaven, I thank you for the resurrection account here. Thank you for Jesus, who is alive and lives and reigns throughout all eternity. And Lord Jesus, we ask today that you would open up our eyes, that we would see Jesus, that we would hear you speak our name today. Holy Spirit, teach us your word. Teach us your truth today. And transform our hearts. And now in the name and in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind Satan today, so your word and your spirit might move in a powerful way in my heart and in every one of our hearts today. That we might experience Jesus and who He is. And Lord, all the praise, all the glory and honor go to You, and we love You. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Many believers long to visit the Holy Land and walk where Jesus walked. They would literally want to climb the steps that Jesus climbed and pray in the garden where He prayed. We want the Spirit of Jesus to grip us. We want to find Him in a special way where He lived and taught. Some who seek Jesus want to find Him in a statue or in the ritual of a church. But they're looking in all the wrong places. He will not be found in a specific location or among dead things. Sometimes, when we are feeling lost or lonely or grief-stricken, our tears blind us of seeing Him. In our sorrow, we wonder, where has He gone? How come God seems so far away from us? And in this text, Jesus calls Mary by name. Mary, in her sorrow, was seeking to find where the body of Jesus had been taken. And the question this morning is, who is Mary? Who is this woman? We need to know a little bit about her background. Luke 8, 1 and 2 says, "After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. The 12 were with Him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out." Mary had been delivered from 7 demons. Mary Magdalene was a victim. She knew the torments of alien spirits in her body. These were not just psychological scars. They were actual personal beings that harassed her and made her unclean. We don't know how or why she acquired these foul spirits. Perhaps through occultism or unrestrained immorality. Or perhaps she was a victim of abuse and these spirits took advantage of her vulnerability. But then she met Jesus, who told her, "Your sins are forgiven." For the first time, she felt as if her spirit had been washed clean. The torment stopped. The accusing voices ended. Her friends could not account for the difference in her attitude and demeanor. The new Mary was not the woman they knew. Mary was delivered from these attacks by faith in Christ and the promise that if the Son makes us free, we will be free indeed. Hallelujah. This was possible for the first time. Mary met a man who didn't misuse her, demean her, or manipulate her. Here was a man of impeccable purity, a man who could be trusted to treat her with love and respect, a man who could forgive and accept her without degrading her with suggestive innuendos. No wonder she was willing to contribute to his welfare with the little money she had. And the scripture says, "Those who are forgiven much love much." Mary was forgiven much. And she loved much. You know, there are those today that the liberals, some of them like to say that Mary Magdalene had an affair with Jesus. But we know what the scripture says, that He was without sin. And the scripture tells us that Jesus became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. He was without sin. He didn't commit sin. He was one who could genuinely love somebody without any other suggestive ideas or thoughts. Mary was delivered from her sin and she loved much. Mary was motivated by love to follow Jesus to the very end. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." Anything that we do to honor our Lord and our Savior should be done out of a motivation of love for him. That was the motivation of Mary Magdalene. She loved him. She followed him to the very end. And why should we be surprised at how she followed him? You know, Golgotha was no place for women. But Mary wanted to be there, to pray, to meditate, to grieve. In fact, we are told she was along with Mary, the mother of James and John, and they stayed until the very end to see where the body of Jesus was laid. Mark 15:47. And the only man who had ever loved her was dead. Jesus was the one who had given her her first taste of dignity, the man who elevated her self-worth by his gracious words, was no more. Why should we be surprised that 3 days later we see her at the tomb? It says, "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have put him.'" She was the first one there. That tells us something about her great love for Jesus. Peter and John had a foot race, it says here. John beat Peter, but he didn't go into the tomb. He just looked in the tomb. But Peter came running, and Peter went right in the tomb, and he saw those two angels in the grave clothes, the one around the head all folded up and the other grave clothes there. And after that, John went in and saw the same thing. But what I like about the testimony about John is the beloved disciple, the one that had such great love for Jesus. It says he saw and he believed. And yet they didn't understand all that had taken place. He saw and he believed. But the disciples, they went home, right? Kind of sounds like us men anyway. We've seen enough, let's go home. But Mary stayed. Mary stayed. And she was at the tomb crying, because she wanted some answers. She wanted to know where Jesus was, what had happened to him. She was crying. This woman wouldn't be put off. She would try to find the body. She loved this man who had set her free. She wanted to honor the memory of a man she could trust. Mary was on a mission to make sure she knew where the body was and that it was properly cared for. And she stood there crying. Verses 11 through 13 in our text says, "As she wept, she bent over to look in the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken away my Lord," she said. "And I don't know where they've put him." She wasn't alarmed that she'd been talking to the angels, because in those days people were accustomed to miracles, especially because of the works of Jesus and the prevailing belief that the angelic visitors did in fact occasionally bring messages from heaven. They were somewhat accustomed to the angels. Mary's loss was so great that she didn't want the angels. She wanted her Lord. She longed for Jesus. And if she couldn't have him alive, at least she would honor his decaying body. Has anyone ever loved like this woman? Has anyone ever wept like this woman? Has anyone ever cared like this woman? And then we have this unexpected meeting. After her conversation with the angels, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not recognize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you put him, and I will get him." One translation says, "and I will carry him away." Tremendous love. And yet she didn't recognize Jesus. And I don't know what his body looked like at that time, but I think maybe through the tears in her eyes, she didn't see clearly. She doesn't realize that she was in the presence of the Lord. Her heart was filled with grief, and she was looking in the wrong place. She was looking for a corpse, not a living Lord. She was seeking the living among the dead. As it says in the book of Luke, "Why are you seeking the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen as he said he was. Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive?" She was looking in the wrong place. What a pity it would have been if she would have found the dead body of Jesus, right? Thankfully, God sometimes doesn't let us find what we're looking for. Mary was also looking in the wrong direction. When she was looking in the tomb, she had her back toward Jesus. She must not look into the tomb, but out of it. She must not look for a dead Christ, but a living one. She was looking for him in a place where he doesn't belong. I want to tell you today, there are many people that are looking in the wrong place and in the wrong direction to find the very thing that can satisfy their heart and their soul. Maybe you've been looking in the wrong place. Maybe you've got your back toward Jesus. You missed him. Mary was looking in the wrong place and in the wrong direction. John Bunyan, in the book Pilgrim's Progress, tells about Christian who was always keeping his eyes riveted on the floor and failed to look up. Have you seen people walk like this? You know, always looking at the floor. You know, once in a while you might find a dime. Christian kept looking at the floor. For him, life was but an experience of this world, not the world to come. And as long as we're looking down, we can't look up to our Father in heaven. And the direction we face determines what we will discover and the destination that we shall reach. 1 Corinthians 15, 17 through 20 says, "And if Christ has not been risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only in this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Donald Gray Barnhouse wrote this in regard to Mary as she was speaking to Jesus. Here is one of the greatest character portrayals of all of literature, human or divine. Here is the heart of a good woman. Here is love, offering to do the impossible as love always does. Jesus, no doubt, was touched by her love. And now Jesus looks into her eyes and says only one word. Mary. You know how precious her name was? Her name was precious to Jesus. And for Mary to hear his voice speak her name was touching. The voice, the presence, the second look. Yes, it was Jesus. No one ever said her name like that. She responded, Rabboni, teacher. And she falls at his feet, clinging to him, determining not to let him go. And Mary will leave the garden a different person. Her beloved Lord who was dead is now alive and knows her by name. Nothing important has changed, and yet everything is different. Isn't that great? And the last point this morning, as I was thinking about this text, I thought about the hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus, right? What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. He called her by name, Mary. Mary's name in the Hebrew means exalted by the Lord. She was an exalted one in the presence of Jesus. And the Lord exalted her by giving her the privilege of being the first person to whom he revealed himself. What an honor. Erwin W. Lutzer says in regard to Mary, he speaks her name tenderly, for the Lord does not call her Mary Magdalene as a reminder of her past life, but just Mary, as a reminder, as a name of personal identification and compassion. Dry your tears, Mary. Behold, your master is here, and he's calling for you. One of the sweetest words we can hear is our own name. And the little children expressed their names this morning. That single word, Mary, changed everything for this grieving woman. This word proved that Jesus was alive for her and for anyone else who desires his companionship. She had hoped for a dead Christ, but now the living Christ was calling her. Today, Jesus is calling your name. He longs to have a relationship with you, taking away your tears, your sorrow, your pain, offering you hope and eternal life. You're precious to him. He created you. He loves you. He died for you. And he wants you as a companion. John 17:3 says, Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And I like this verse. It's John 6:40. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Hallelujah. Everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life. Amen. Nobody excluded. No names excluded. Everyone looks to the Lord and believes in Him shall have eternal life. And best of all, He will raise us up on the last day, and we will live and reign with Him forever and ever and ever. And of His kingdom and of His reign, there will be no end. Hallelujah! That's the risen Savior we have. And oh, how Mary loved Him. And I trust that you would love Him as well and live for Him and worship Him. And if He's calling your name today in that still small voice, answer Him and allow Him to come in and be your Savior and your Lord.